Transportation Modal Subcommittee will now come to order. Margarita, please call the roll.
Chair McParland.
Here.
Vice Chair Fabricio.
Here.
Ranking Member Hinson is excused. Representatives Andrade. Arrington.
Here.
Bankson. Basabi. Edmonds. Escamani.
Here.
Esposito.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Mello is excused. Michael.
Here.
Nixon.
Here.
Porras.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Stark.
Here.
Quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank goodness. Let the record reflect that quorum is present. Members, before we begin, let's turn off those phones and electronic devices. Welcome to week three. We have four bills, four great bills on our agenda today. And let's get the show on the road with PCS for House Bill 701 by Representative Bell. Representative Bell, you are recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair McFarland. Appreciate you listening to my bill this afternoon, and also Vice Chair and Ranking Member. House Bill 701 is going to make changes to the statutes regarding towing, storage, and operators, and seeks to address some issues faced by Florida consumers and businesses when an operator has towed their vehicle. And I'd like to take up the proposal of the proposed committee, substitute, which clarifies the provisions of the original bill and addresses a few others. Good?
Okay. Go ahead, Rep. Bell.
Okay, first of all, in this bill, and this is a work in progress, so everybody stay with me as I explain this because it's complicated. But the first provision that's going to do is the provides Highway Patrol. If it may not exclude a wrecker operator from its wrecker operator systems based solely on a prior felony conviction unless the conviction is for a felony. I know someone that's been an operator for 50 years, and he had a felony when he was 20 years old. And so Highway Patrol saying, we're going to take you off the list. So we're changing that. And then also establishes the towing storage operators may charge reasonable fees authorized by the state, by local municipalities, and the Florida Highway Patrol. The term reasonable is already in current statute. It also provides that towing storage operators must accept debit cards, credit cards, or electronic payments. I mean, this is 2023 now. Also, vehicle inspections, it provides the towing storage operators, they must make a towed vehicle available for inspection during regular business hours within 3 business days of receiving a written request or inspect the vehicle, and it releases the vehicle upon the provision of the electronic paper title. And then also it decreases from 7 to 3 days for the third party vendor to send the notice of lien to the owner or lien holder. So that shortens the time frame of say for instance, if your vehicle is towed, the towing company has 7 days. And this is for bad actors. Well, I should have said this from the beginning. The tow companies that will wait 6 days to notify the owner, send a certified letter. So now the owner gets that letter 10 days or maybe 12 days, and then they go pick up their vehicle and they have a $5,500 bill because you know they've had their vehicle in storage and lien all that time. But then also when I was talking about the fees, I have a bill here, and it's from a customer, and it's and this is what kind of started with this bill, trying to straighten this bill out. But the vehicle got towed, so when the owner went to pick up their vehicle, the bill was $3,300. They charged for a COVID cleanup. They cleaned their vehicle before they got in it. They moved. Towed the vehicle, and then they moved the vehicle 3 or 4 times around on the yard. So every time they moved that vehicle, they charged the consumer. They also had to open the gate to put the vehicle in, so they charged to get out of their vehicle and open the gate. They covered the car. They put like a little plastic thing over it. They charged for that. it just goes on and on for all the charges. So this bill, which really was a low bill, was $3,300. I have seen higher bills than this. But this bill that I'm running is just going to be a cleanup bill, more or less to protect the consumer. And so it's a work in progress. We're still working on some things, you know, trying to narrow down days of when, you know, lien has to be recorded and when you can notify. So, and that's it, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bell. Members, are there any questions on the PCS? Representative Nixon, you're recognizing questions.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Hey, Rep. Bell, can you tell me a little bit more about the returning citizen piece or the ex-felon? Can you go into a little more detail about that portion?
Yeah.
Representative Bell, you're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, if you have been charged as a felon and the law states now that you cannot tow my vehicle, you cannot be a tow truck driver. So we're changing it now that you can be. If it wasn't for auto theft or that type of felony or murder. So.
Members, any further questions? Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
I'd like to thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Bell, I wanted to follow up on Rep. Nixon's question. So are there disqualifying offenses that would prevent, listed out? I was just curious when she said that, and you answered that if it was auto theft, they wouldn't be able to. Is that correct?
You're recognized, Rep. Bell.
Thank you. In this bill, it says, unless the conviction is for a forcible felony, and it's statute 776.08.
Great.
So it's under that.
Thank you for the clarification.
Members, do we have any further questions of Representative Bell? Any amendments on the PCS? Seeing none, we will now move into public testimony. Eric DeCampos waves in with the National Insurance Crime Bureau, waves in support. Alex Miller, Florida Trucking Association, waves in support. David Custin, representing Beach Towing Services, waves in opposition. And here to speak with us today, we have Harvey Spencer from Tri-County Towing. He is an opponent of the bill and wishes to speak to us today. Sir, you are recognized at the podium.
Thank you for having me speak today. My name is Harvey Spencer, and I'm an owner of a towing company in North Florida. I oppose this bill for many reasons. First, we talked about the felonies. If you're a convicted felon on the rotation list for the Highway Patrol now, you can't tow a car for the Highway Patrol. The new bill is, they're going to try to rewrite it, is if you are a non-forcible or a forcible felon, is that when you're going to be excluded? So you're still going to have convicted felons that's going to be towing cars for the Highway Patrol. So that's going to be an issue down the road, I believe. The other one is the bill states that the lien must be discharged. The lien holder picks up a burnt car, they don't have to pick the car up or pay for it. This would be a huge hardship for all towing companies in Florida. So some of the language in these changes need to be addressed, and she talked about that we're going to work and try to get them changed, but I do oppose the current bill and the way it is written at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer.
Thank you.
Mike Seaman with the Professional Records Operation of Florida is an opponent of the bill and is here to speak to us today. Mr. Seaman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I represent the Professional Record Operators of Florida, and we represent our members or the good towers. The bill, the tow bill, that is totally unnecessary, anything like that. The problem is when you're on a FHP rotation, you're on different contracts. If you have law enforcement contracts, and most cities and counties, by statute, they're mandated to have rates established for non-consent towing, and there's two kinds of non-consent towing. One is is going to be private property tows, where a property owner has a vehicle towed. The second is when a law enforcement has a vehicle towed. And I want to thank the representative for making some changes. We do agree with probably a lot of this. It's in the bill. The couple issues that would be devastating to the towing industry, Harvey touched on the lien. Right now, the statute says that when you get a title or certificate of destruction to junk a vehicle, that it's you get it free and clear of all liens from the department. This language says that the lien would have to be discharged, meaning that the tower would have to deal with the lien holder that didn't want to pick up the vehicle. But if we can't get a title or CD legally, we can't get rid of it. You can't even move it off your property as a felony. So that would be a big hardship. It needs to stay the language that it is. It's worked for many years. The part about credit cards, we agree with that. I work on local ordinances, and majority of them, if they don't have it, they're getting it in. But the problem is there's something new that's come about in recent times. It's called a match list. And if a merchant gets a lot of complaints, chargebacks, and such, no matter what kind of business they're in, they get on the match list. And a match list would prevent other processing companies, MasterCard, Visa, something like that, processing banks, from doing business with them. So if it's mandated in state statute that you have to take credit cards and you can't find a processor, that would put you out of business. The cure for that is to put in that they could have an ATM. A lot of towers have that now. We have some that's in tourist areas where small town, beach towns, they park, they get towed by law enforcement, not by the property owner, but by law enforcement. They're not going to be happy. And they try to dispute it. And before you could show the credit card company your documentation, but this will put you on, could get you on a match list if you had too many. So that's what some changes. Look forward to working with the representative on making the current the proper changes in this. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Thielen. Next up, we have Bob Cortez with Professional Wrecker Operators of Florida, who is here for informational purposes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and our ranking member and members. Good to see you all again. My name is Bob Cortez, and I'm a board member for the Professional Wrecker Operators of Florida. For those of you who know me, I've been towing cars since I was 16 years old, and I started the towing business in 1989, which 34 years later still exists. I don't own it anymore. I sold it, but towing has been my life. And then I've been involved in a lot of the policy changes throughout the years in here in Florida, way back in the 2000s, and changing laws. So, you know, I want to thank Rep. Bell for listening to our concerns and the committee for bringing forward the PCS that has addressed some of the issues that we've brought forward. But we're unfortunately quite not there yet. And she's made it clear that she wants to continue working with us. And for that, I want to thank her for that and commend her. This bill will hurt many, many reputable companies. There's no doubt that there's a lot of bad apples out there, and we're not going to deny that. Our mission at PWF has always been to protect the consumer while at the same time protecting the interest of the towers that go out and spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, towing cars. Now, you know, nobody likes their car towed, right? Just like nobody's in love with the Undertaker, but we sure are happy to see both of them when we need them, right? So, sorry about that. It's just the industry that we're in. But when you break down, you want to have somebody that shows up and tows your car to the dealer and stuff. And that's the stuff that we deal with. Now, we are one of the, towing is one of the most, is an unregulated industry, but we're the most regulated, unregulated industry that exists. And that sounds like a misnomer, right? And I'll tell you why. And we're regulated by Florida Statute 71378, 71507, 166-0103, and 125. It, particularly 166 and 125 is the one that mandates the counties and municipalities to set maximum rates for non-consent towing. And this is what we're talking about here. 713 governs non-consent. What does that mean? Non-consent is when you leave the procurement to an officer to tow the car when you're incapacitated or you're arrested or something else. Trespass tow is when you see that don't park here, your car is going to get towed away, which is governed under Statute 71507. So those are the differences here. This doesn't regulate consensual tows, which I believe part of that invoice that the rep mentioned to you was a consensual tow and not a non-consensual tow. So the bill here will not fix the problem that these bad apples are charging $2,000 or $3,000. So, the county ordinances, most of the counties except three have them in place, and they're setting maximum rates. But they also set, for example, Miami-Dade has not just the maximum rates, but has a consumer protection program that if you go out of line or you present a bill like that that's not right, they will actually yank your license and you cannot operate in Miami-Dade. Orange County under Chapter 45, under Chapter 35, Seminole County under Chapter 45, and even in Palm Beach County and Broward. So there's a lot of checks and balances already in there. I'm just going to go quickly on a couple of issues. Line 119 on the credit card. Mike said we agree with that. Just a little tweaking in there. I think we'll get there. The line 207 on the three-day is going to be very problematic. I'll tell you why. So, yes, we do send the letters within 7 business days. But you're going to create an unintended consequences if you mandate the towers to do it within 3 days. How? I'll give you an example. 70% of the cars that I towed today are picked up within the first 24 hours and do not include an additional administrative fee for the notification. If you mandate the towers to do this now, as soon as that car comes to the gate, they're going to get hit with a new notification fee, which could be in some places $75, could be as high as $250. So if you're talking about trying to protect the consumer, this is going to actually add to the consumer. So that's something that we can work on. They mentioned about the language on the lien. Keywords like they're adding the word substantially comply in line 356. And for the lawyers in the room, obviously, they like words like that because the current statute says comply with the notice requirements. This now says substantially comply. What does that mean? I'll give an example. If I send a letter to John Smith, who's the registered owner, and Mary Smith signs for that letter, it's certified, but it goes to the house, same address, and Mary Smith signs for it, under current law, we complied with the requirements of the statute. Under substantially, we're no longer complying because John Smith did not get the letter, Mary Smith did. So these are key words that could lead to litigation that would drag towers into places they don't want to be. So I've got a list of things that we can work with the sponsor on that. And, you know, members, today I'm not asking you to vote no. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not. That's why in my paper I didn't say I was in opposition. I know as the bill sponsor is willing to work with the issues and would hurt consumers and towing companies. All I'm asking is that as we move forward, that the towing industry have a seat at the table on this because we can be a good resource for providing good policy while at the same time protecting the consumers in the state of Florida. And I'm open for any questions if anybody has. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cortez, and thank you for your service to the state of Florida. Next up, we have Fred Dickinson. Mr. Cortez, we're going to have a free-for-all Wednesday here. I think Rep. Nixon has a question of you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Sheesh. I have one question around the notification piece. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure.
I recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Under current law, and this has been probably for 30 years, current law requires that the towing company send a letter to the owner, lien holder, and insurance company within 7 business days so that they know where their car is. Now, if your car was towed under highway patrol or local police, more than likely, if you were in an accident or arrested, you're going to get a police report that says where your car was at. And most people will come within the next day to get a personal property. If your car was towed under private property, those towaway signs, the bottom of the sign says it's required by law where the car was towed from. So you already know where the car is at, right? But local ordinances under Chapter 166 prohibit the towing companies from mailing out this letter for 48 hours. They did that to protect the consumer from being charged for an administrative fee if they picked up the car within 24 hours earlier. So that's already, so if this bill passes, now we're in conflict with Statute 166 because most ordinances in the state of Florida prohibit the towing company from sending it 40 hours. We don't send the letters. We contract with a third party like Auto Data Direct that we send them the information and they send out the notice certified mail with return receipt with everybody and every name that's on the record. That's in Florida. But what happens if the car is in Wisconsin? Normally, if Auto Data or the Beacon, the third party, can access the 50 states, which currently they don't, then we have to go either to local law enforcement, which is why that line that eliminates the law enforcement process is vital to stay there so that law enforcement can provide us with that information. And then we send a letter to the state of Wisconsin or whatever state, DMV, so we can get the owner, lien holder, and information records out of them. And that's also protected under DPPA, the Driver's License Protection Act under federal. So these are the things that goes away. The intent is to notify somebody who doesn't know where the car is at, right? I get that. But if you send it, and we're willing to work with the sponsors instead of 7 days, maybe 4 days, something that is more reasonable that we can get it out in due time without mandating on the first day that the person now is going to be hit with an extra charge.
Thank you. Representative Basabi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Cortez, for a lot of this explanation. I was going to see if you could elaborate a bit on the payment system. I mean, a lot of the tow dealerships are cash, but sometimes days go by and the ATMs just don't give the cash. I know there's a lot of fraud. I know there's a lot of issue. I certainly want to protect industry, but can you just explain a little bit why no cards are accepted at
all? You're recognized.
Madam Chair, thank you very much, and thank you, Representative. The simple question, the answer to that also, most county ordinances that are governed under 166 that mandate the maximum rates also have language that the towing companies must accept credit card, debit cards, alternative form of payments, and ATM machines. Most towing companies that do trespass tow, because pretty much every towing company in the state of Florida does accept credit cards, the issue becomes more on the private property trespass tow, where somebody had their car parked, particularly in Miami Beach in your area. It's not the private property owner calling in the tow. It's the city of Miami Beach that calls it in. It's unique. It doesn't happen anywhere in the state where the city law enforcement actually calls it in. So now the person has been partying in Miami Beach, their car, he parked it at the taxi stand, and now it's gone. They have a $49 fine from the city of Miami Beach, and now they got to go get the car at a towing place. They're angry, they're slamming. And if you ever watch the TV series on Beach Tow, you can see how they can get in rowdy. So that's one of the reasons why they have been not taking credit cards and cash because of the chargebacks.
Thank you for recognizing my very unique city.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Cortez. Thank you. Next up, we have Fred Dickinson with Sunshine State Towing Association, who is here for informational purposes to speak to us.
Yeah, we're kind of neutral at this point. Thankfully, the sponsors have worked with us on both sides of the issue. I've been around the tow industry for a long time. I was at Highway Safety originally, and then 10 years representing these guys. I'll be honest, the real problem here is that very few of statutes or ordinances local have been visited in a long time. These guys' expenses have gone astronomically high. You know, they get $125 for a tow in some counties, and it's just not real manageable. So we kind of appreciate y'all looking into some of these issues, and I think there's some educational things that will come out of this. But we look forward to working with Representative Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Dickinson.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Dennis Levine with Florida Bar Business Law Section, who is a proponent of the bill and is here to speak to us. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dennis Levine. I'm a partner in the law firm of Brock and Scott. I represent auto lenders for the last 28 years, and the majority of my work in the last 5 years has been representing auto lenders in fighting fraudulent repair, towing, and storage companies. The Florida Bar Business Law Section supports this legislation. What are some of the abuses that I see every day in my practice? Things like, towing company insists that an agent bring an original notarized document in order to have a car released. A towing company refuses to release a vehicle when a certificate has been issued by the clerk pursuant to a statute after the owner or lender posts a bond. The towing company does not answer the phone or they're not available to release a vehicle. Towing company refuses to allow an inspection of the vehicle. Towing company alleges it released the vehicle back to the owner or someone else, but doesn't have any record of that. They charge exorbitant fees. They provide an address on the lien sale notice that is an invalid address as to where the car is located. Fraudsters also are using the landlord-tenant lien statute and the self-storage statute to foreclose on liens on vehicles, which does not have the protections for consumers or lenders that Chapter 71378 has. So these are the problems I see every day in my practice. The proposed legislation before you resolves a number of these problems. And I want to point out that the legislature in 2019 substantially revised Florida Statute 713-585. That's the section that deals with liens for repair shops, not towing and storage, but repair shops. And a lot of these changes are actually language that is already in 713-585 that for some reason did not get grafted. They didn't focus on the towing and storage statute when they changed the repair statute. So, for example, it incorporates the bond procedures that bring in Florida Statute 559-917, which talks about the process for posting a bond, to close a loophole in the statute that I see because it's already in 713-585, that process. So it should be made clear. It's the bond process is mentioned in 78, but it's not clear like it is. So that's one thing. Second is an inspection. Current law says that you can inspect a vehicle at a towing or storage shop if you have an original notarized document signed by the customer. Well, if you're GM Financial and you've loaned a car, you know, you've made a loan on a car or you lease a car, that's impossible to get. And the shop will say, you can't inspect the car because you don't have an original notarized. Well, in 2019, they changed the statute for repair shops to say upon 3 days written notice, they have to allow you to inspect the car. We've taken the same language that's already in the existing statute to put into this statute. And also to clarify, because it's in the towing in the repair statute, that they have to accept a copy of a title. They can't insist on original documents. Now we have a lot of cases where a towing company will say, well, if you're going to come pick up the car, you have to have an original paper title that's notarized. Well, there's no such thing in the law that says that. But that's what they tell the lenders. And so what the lenders will do is, oh, my gosh, I have to write to the DMV because we're an electronic title state. I have to write to the DMV and get an original paper title because that's the only way they're going to release my car to me. That takes 2 or 3 weeks. They have to pay a fee. Meanwhile, the storage fees are going on. So that provision already in existing law for repair shops, we want to have that same language in the towing and storage statute. Another provision we have is to make 71378 the exclusive way to foreclose a lien on a vehicle. So you can't use the landlord-tenant statute, you can't use the self-storage statute. Those statutes do not require notice, you can't post a bond. There are very few, if any, consumer protections or protections for lenders. And so there is an existing process in 71378. I see fraudsters using these other statutes all the time, and unfortunately for self-storage, the DMV will recognize that and will switch a title even though the lender generally doesn't ever get notice. So also, this makes clear that posting a bond is an alternative to filing a lawsuit. Right now, the statute says you can file a lawsuit, A, 5A, 5B, you could post a bond. I've had a situation Friday morning where I tried to post a bond in Lee County, and the clerk's office said, we're not going to issue your certificate of release, Mr. Levine, because you haven't filed a lawsuit. And I tried to tell them, no, the statute is in the alternative. And they said, that's not the way the statute reads. And frankly, I can understand their reading of the statute. So we have introduced some language to make it clear that you can file a lawsuit, or in the alternative, you can post the bond. These changes should not have any material impact, representatives, on honest towing companies. We urge your support of these amendments to the statute, and I'm ready to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. Next up, we have Leslie Dookie representing Enterprise National and Alamo, waving in support, and Doug Bell with Avis Rental Cars, waving in support. Is there any more public testimony here with us today? Seeing no further public testimony, debate. Members, we are in debate. Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to really talk more so about the days and all of that stuff. I'm just thankful that you removed the felony piece because, like, those folks need another opportunity, a second chance. And when they have jobs and things like that, that's them. They're less likely to recidivate. And so I'm appreciative of that. And so I'm going to support your bill. Hopefully you can, in fact, get with the records and things like that to handle and iron out the other issues that have come across due to this bill. But thank you, really, for that returning citizens piece.
Thank you.
Representative Smith, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and appreciate the bill, Rep. And I'll just lead off with I'm going to vote for this bill today. Out of respect to you and your consistent record of working with stakeholders to craft good legislation for Florida. But I have serious concerns with the bill, and many that were pointed out and some that weren't. And the issue, I get it, that we've seen folks that waved in support for rental car agencies today, that's different. And the citing of repair policies versus storage policies or auto towing, well, none of us repair a rental car, you know, so the one statute doesn't fit all. But the ability to continue to work and the potentially negative impact of this legislation on small towers that I have as constituents, and these are people that essentially the professional wreckers, they're trying to police themselves. We all know there's bad actors out there in every industry, but we have an industry now represented by the professional wreckers that are trying to weed out those bad actors. So putting bad legislation in place to target a few companies that adversely affect an entire industry is what we'd call in the military group punishment. It rarely works, but I want to continue to work with you. We've had some great discussions. I think we can bring people into a room, and it's like, okay, nobody leaves until we have this hammered out, because I think you're very close. And if we had wreckers and towers that had that boots-on-the-ground perspective, because what we're seeing is this is what the words say, but what we need is this is what it's going to do to my business. This is what you're going, here's the unintended consequences that are going to come out of there that we as legislators may not know. And again, hearing Representative Cortez talk about the fee that they're going to file, I didn't know about that. So the cutting down on the frivolous fees, we've got to do that. And I'm very concerned if this were to pass in its current form, we are opening the door for frivolous litigation against towers, and we've gone to great lengths this session to cut down in form of tort reform to reduce litigation in Florida, and we do not want to open up a new path to, hey, have you been towed? I can get you so much money, and then we get filled with TV commercials and billboards about suing towers and wreckers that perform a valuable service, just like we've got a foundational education or environment in Florida because of our businesses. And tourism is tops of the heap. And a cornerstone of our effective tourism is rental cars. We want people to be able to move around from attractions to the beaches to our wildlife, and rental car companies are foundational to that experience. We need to address those concerns, but I sure would like to get folks in a room, and nobody leaves until we've got this hammered out. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Representative Bankson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rep. Bell. I think this is just going a great direction, and similar thoughts on that as we reached out and discussed that. It was great to see former Representative Cortez here, who's now a constituent. So he did call me and have a lot of these conversations, and he was saying that there was an amenable side that they were approaching this with as well, that we can, you know, tidy up the things that are gaps right now, and yet still continue to work with them. So I'm up on this bill. And just again, thank you for working together with both sides to get the best law. We thank you.
Thank you, Member Representative Escalante in debate.
Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you too for bringing together all the stakeholders, and thanks to folks who spoke up and shared their perspectives. And Representative Cortez texted me as well. And there are amazing advocates involved in every element of this. And so I appreciate your efforts to focus on consumers, also trying to address some of the bad actors while not having unintended consequences for what are often very small businesses. And so looking forward to that process continuing, and you definitely have my support today.
Members, any further debate? Representative Fabricio, recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I also had the pleasure of speaking with past Representative Cortez, who is a dear friend, and I appreciate having the opportunity to catch up with him. This is a good bill. I am very encouraged by the fact that while there is a food fight here, and let's call it what it is, there is a food fight here, I'm encouraged by the fact that the parties seem to be working together to get this thing, to get it resolved. And I think there's a little bit more work to be done, and there are two more stops that this bill will see. So I expect that there will be more work to be done before we see it on the floor. But thank you so much.
Representative Bell, you are recognized to close on your bill. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take a moment of debate. Members, this bill number is 701, which means it was filed pretty early in the process, and we are now on week 3 before we are hearing it for the first time as a proposed committee substitute. I can tell you the amount of work that has gone into this, not only from the transportation staff, but also Rep. Bell and I, our offices are adjacent, and so I know very well how hard she has worked on it. This bill has come a long way. We've all recognized today that there's some more that needs to be worked out, but this is part of our process. This is the first committee stop. She's got two more stops to go on the bill. I have every assurance and every faith and trust in her for continuing to move forward on the bill. But what you've seen here is a great discussion, really, really careful input, some strong advocacy by our partners on the other side of the podium, and tremendous work by the bill sponsor. So, Representative Bell, you are recognized to close.
Well, Chair McFarland, I really do appreciate you and your words of wisdom and helping me through this, because, like I said, we share suites together. But I also would like to thank my constituents and people that drove up today that are not my constituents, but the good people of the state of Florida with their concerns. And I should have mentioned in this provision that we took out before this bill is the provision increasing penalties for selling an unclaimed vehicle, and also the provision that said the administrative fee, which may not exceed $250, may not exceed the amount set by the local government if it's less than $250. And then also in our days, we're looking at if you notify the lien holder, say for instance, if your vehicle gets towed a Friday night at 11:54, well then you have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and maybe that's a Memorial Day weekend, Monday, well then they don't have to start doing anything until that following Tuesday. So we are wanting to work with the record services. And like somebody said, we do need, I think Representative Cortez, I mean, they do a great service for the state of Florida. But it's just the bad actors that we need to take care of. So with that, I will wave closed.
Thank you, Representative Bell. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representative Sandrade?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Wasabi?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris? Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, PCS for House Bill 701 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Bell.
Thank you.
Next up, let's zoom on in HB 839 by Representative Saroy, Space Flight Entity Liability. Representative Saroy, you are recognized.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, committee members. House Bill 839 amends Florida statute to update language governing the informed consent process for human space flight. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Escamani.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you, Rep. Okay, I do have a few quick questions. I know there's a lot going on today. Okay, can you just explain to me why do we need this bill and what companies like are asking for it as well?
Representative Saroy, you are recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, Representative. So I think it's important to cover a little bit of history. Since you asked the question, it gives me entree to provide that. In 2011, the space shuttle program ended. And that's an important milestone in American history in the context of human space flight. Because up until that point, you had a government vehicle with a government crew launched by government assets on a government mission. Or it was a contract that the government was executing perhaps on behalf of a private company. With the retirement of the shuttle program in 2011, you begin an evolution toward commercial space flight, where you have private companies with a private vehicle and a private crew launching their own assets, launching their own employees, or contracting out with another private company to launch a piece of equipment or some of their employees. So you've really seen this this evolution in the industry. And what this bill does is it recognizes that we have commercial operators operating in this space now, providing these services. And this bill is an effort to make sure that coverage exists, because spaceflight has inherent risks associated with it. It is not to the point yet where, you know, today we have commercial flight. We can go get on a plane, we can go somewhere, buy a ticket, and go somewhere. But one day we're gonna be at that point with commercial aerospace. So this bill is in recognition of the evolution of the industry and the fact that we're launching private crews on civilian missions and they're not government crews.
Thank you, Representative Soraya. Representative Escamani for a follow-up.
Thank you so much, Chair. I appreciate the explanation. So my understanding is that, like, those who are in the crew, like, they're signing some sort of waiver that if they are impacted, you know, God forbid they're not, but if they were, like, they're signing some sort of waiver. But what your bill does is expand it to employees. Is that a correct interpretation? Or, you know, can you maybe walk me through that? Because that's an area of just, you know, clarity I need.
Representative Saroy, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, that's not correct. What we do in this bill is that we align Florida's definition of crew with the federal definition of crew.
Representative Escamani, you have
fault. I do.
You're recognized.
Okay, so what is that federal definition of crew?
Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
Just one moment.
At your leisure.
If I can, and I have a definition, actually, if I want to share that too, Chair. Okay, because my interpretation of the federal definition of crew is that it means any employee, contractor, or subcontractor who works on anything related to launch or reentry operations, so that the word crew does expand it to other employees, contractors, and subcontractors, because that's how I interpreted the federal definition, but I'm curious if you have a different one.
You're recognized, Rep. Troy.
Thank you. I'd want to compare notes with you, Representative Escamani, but I think we're looking at two different portions of federal code. What I'm referring to is the FAA distinction of what is an astronaut versus what is a crew. And we're bringing the two in alignment in the context of Florida law.
Another follow-up if I can, Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Okay, let's walk me through the immunity piece, because my understanding is that the immunity would also apply even if there's negligence. Could you clarify that for me?
Representative Saroy, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So as I'm sure you can imagine, there's quite a bit of paperwork that needs to be done if you're going to ride a vehicle to orbit. Part of that process includes the informed consent, piece of paperwork that says there are inherent dangers associated with spaceflight. Do you acknowledge that? My bill does nothing to affect negligence or any workers' compensation policies that may be in place.
Members, any further questions?
I'll ask one more.
Representative Vasconi.
I appreciate that. That might be my last one, but I'm just curious, have there been any lawsuits filed at all? Like, you know, is there any, why isn't the current process working? If it's not going to expand it, then don't we already have a system in place? And why do this? Are there any lawsuits that are pending that we're trying to, you know, counter or comment on?
You're recognized, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we lost Ed White, Gus Grissom, and Roger Chaffee in Apollo 1, which caught fire on the launch pad. That was a government mission. We lost the Space Shuttle Challenger and the seven crew members on board in 1985. And then we lost the seven members of the Columbia crew when that vehicle disintegrated over Texas. So, again, you know, this bill speaks, I think, to the evolution that we're seeing in the industry and recognizing the fact that spaceflight has some serious risks associated with it. And that in the future, you know, God forbid, we're confronted with a situation where these are private people, private employees that are being transported on these vehicles, and they're, you know, signing up and understanding the risk that it's associated with it. So this bill is an acknowledgement that private citizens now are going to space. They're not government employees. They're not members of our armed forces, which traditionally, when you think about the right stuff, those were all test pilots that were part of our armed forces that signed up to be a part of this. And I'd be remiss, and I understand the point that you're making, but I also think there's a broader issue here, is that if we're going to continue to make progress in this field, in this industry, in the technology and the sciences that are associated with human spaceflight, Florida law is going to continue to have a lot of catching up to do in that regard. And I think that, you know, realizing that you had John Young, who landed on the moon and an astronaut, celebrated astronaut. I think there's a road named after him in your neck of the woods, Representative Vasconi. He said that anyone who sits on top of the largest hydrogen-oxygen-fueled system in the world and doesn't get a little worried doesn't fully understand the situation. So I think that quote really identifies and underscores the need for this bill and making sure that Florida is taking proactive steps to distinguish ourselves from other states that are very eager to capture this business. And we want to make sure that we're creating a good environment where everything is disclosed, you know, up front.
Representative Vasconi, you're recognized.
Thank you for that explanation. And I think the staff analysis is partly where some of my reinterpretation of crew comes from, because on page 3 of the staff analysis, it defines crew and it says crew means any employee of a licensee or transferee or of a contractor or subcontractor of a licensee or transferee who performs activities in the course of that employment directly relating to launch, reentry, or other operations. So my interpretation, even just based on the staff analysis, that's not just the astronaut. And so if the intention is to just focus on the astronaut, I don't know if that federal definition is, maybe the staff analysis is off and we can, you know, revisit that. But my interpretation of the federal definition of crew seems to be the one in the staff analysis. So I just want to flag that. And if you have a comment to that, I'll take it too.
I have no further comment, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Great. Members, any further questions? Do we have any amendments? Seeing no amendments, we will move into public testimony. Jason Oberlink from Florida Rising waves in opposition. Emmanuel Tormez from Boeing waves in support. Jeff Sharkey representing SpaceX waves in support, boldly. Sabrina Sandifer White wishes to speak. You're recognized, ma'am.
Thank you. My concern with this bill comes from line 31 and 32, which discusses having giving liability, basically the same liability. What do you call it? considerations for if somebody knew they were going up in a spaceship that was launched by, you know, lots of fuel and everything. It specifically states, and if you'll look at it with me, the term also includes a manufacturer or supplier of spaceflight components, services, or vehicles. And my concern with this liability is if you have somebody who's manufacturing something and they have a subpar product that they are providing and they know it, that's not included in this bill anywhere. And that could be something that would be detrimental to our space flight. So while I'm all for, you know, reaching the moon and everybody getting their chance to go to the stars, I don't want people to be left in the dark because they're on a system that's just getting thrown together by manufacturers. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here with us today. Is there any further public testimony? Seeing none, members, we will move into debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Lopez, you're recognized in the debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much, Representative Saroy, for being so forward-thinking. So much is changing in the field of aviation. And I think this is going to get us prepared for what I know is coming, even though it's hard to believe. So I just want to thank you for this really good bill and for really looking at how we start preparing as opposed to responding. Thank you.
Members, any further debate? Representative Escamani, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, members. And I love space. I know you love space, too. And so I do appreciate what the intention is in trying to, you know, ensure that like astronauts understand the risk and that that risk is clear. But just going back to my questions, I feel like the way the bill's written is that it's not just astronauts, and there's a difference between passengers and employees at the end of the day. You know, employees have to be there, and I would assume that our workers' comp, as you noted, covers cases when employees are injured or killed on the job. And my concern is just the current definition of crew being used seems to almost eliminate some of those workers' comp protections, and they're already very weak in Florida. And so perhaps the next bill stop when it comes to the floor, there'll be some more clarity for me on that. But I think for now, just because of my concerns about the notion that crew seems to expand it to other individuals that are not actually riding the craft, I just don't feel comfortable supporting it until I get that clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Members, any further debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Saroy, you're recognized to close. Waving close. Margarita, please call the roll.
Representative Andrade?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Edmonds? Yes. Escamani?
No.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris? Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nixon? Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
13 yeas, 2 nays.
Thank you, Margarita. Members, by your vote, HB 839 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Saroy. All right, next up, we will hear from one of our own. PCS for House Bill 741 by Representative Michael, Enforcement of School Bus Passing Infractions. You are recognized from your desk.
Well, thank you and good afternoon, Chair Mike Farland, Vice Chair Fabricio, I don't know if ranking members here, and committee members. I want to thank Chair Mike Farland for putting this necessary bill on agenda and working with me diligently in making this bill even better. HB 741 permits school districts to partner with law enforcement to utilize school bus detection systems to enforce Florida's school bus stopping laws. Numerous national studies, including 3 data pilot programs in the state of Florida and the counties of Duval, Brevard, Santa Rosa counties, have demonstrated that reckless driving around stopped school buses is a serious problem. And what this bill does is the bill authorizes the use of school bus infraction detection systems to be used to enforce traffic violations for passing a stopped school bus loading on or unloading passengers. The bill authorizes school districts to contract with a private vendor or manufacturer to ensure or enforce passing a stopped school bus using a school bus infraction detection system. The bill allows school districts to enter into an interlocal agreement with one or more law enforcement agencies to enforce violations. What the bill does not do, I'll just tell you a few of those, is the bill does not change the current penalties if you're pulled over by law enforcement for passing a school bus. It does not mandate counties to participate in this program. It doesn't require a certain vendor. And the bill does not allow for the use of the footage to be used in any situation other than enforcing the violation of passing a school bus. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Nixon, you're recognizing questions.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just have a question, Rep. Michael. Were you able to discuss this bill with Duval Schools, or do you know their position on it?
Representative Michael, you're recognized.
I did reach out to our two of our school board members, as well as the superintendent. They didn't see a problem with the bill. They actually liked the bill because it does give the school board and the school board by the advice and direction of the superintendent, the power that they need to be able to elect to be involved in this program and adopt it or not. I also checked out with our sheriff's office as well.
Members, any further questions on the bill? We have one amendment, Amendment A1 by Representative Michael. Representative Michael, you're recognized to explain the Amendment A1.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment ensures a report with details of the results of the school bus infraction system are sent from school districts to the Department of Motor Vehicles. The report must include the number of buses which have a school bus infraction detection system, including the installation date. That's the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Michael. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, do we have any public testimony on the amendment? Seeing no one here today. Members, any debate on the amendment? We have a debate on the amendment. Representative Lopez, you're recognized on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Rep. Michael for bringing this good bill forward. You can well imagine that in Miami, that is, everyone's in a hurry. I see it all the time, people going around it because they think they can get away with it. And I've seen so many near misses that I'm so grateful you're bringing this bill because that'll stop it real quick when people start having consequences that really matter. Thank you.
So members, we are still on the amendment. Representative Lopez, I'll count your comments forward for final debate.
Sorry.
We are still on the amendment about the report going to highway safety. Seeing no debate, Representative Michael, you recognize to close on your amendment?
I waive close.
Are there any objections to the amendment? Without objections, show that amendment adopted, and we are back on the PCS as amended. And do we have any public testimony on the PCS here today? Seeing none, we'll move into debate and count Rep. Lopez's comments forward. Representative Bankson, you're recognized in debate.
Again, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for this bill. Not less than 2 weeks ago, I was sitting waiting. A school bus was there, car or two in front of me, some behind me. And right in the middle of this, just after the children had gotten off the bus, someone decided they were too much in a hurry, flew around me, and went through that. It was appalling, and my mouth just dropped. Our children, we have to protect them, and so I think this really does that. Of course, always about protecting privacy, but this is something that puts a tool in the hand of those who need to. This needs to be stopped, and so I just thank you for this bill. I'm in support.
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rep. Michael, for this great bill. There is this young lady in my district. She sent her 15-year-old to school one day, and he didn't return. Essentially, he was getting off the bus, and someone ran a light and hit the young man just crossing the street to go to the school. So I'm glad we're putting policies like this on the books to help families like her. And I can tell you she will be very appreciative because that was maybe a year ago, and I'm sure that pain lasts forever, and I see her grieving all the time through Facebook. So Thank you for this good piece of legislation.
Representative Porras, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Michael, again, for this fantastic piece of legislation. I just wanted to echo some of the sentiments of my colleagues, especially Representative Lopez from Miami-Dade, like myself. We see this every single day in our communities, and especially in congested areas of Dade County, like myself and Kendall and Rep. Lopez in downtown. But also, one point I wanted to make also, we already use cameras to enforce parking tickets, so I think it makes total sense to be able to punish people that are putting our children in harm's way. So I thank you again for this bill.
Representative Smith, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and I appreciate the member bringing this bill forward. And I think we should almost take a minute and just let this sink in. It's not often in our roles here as legislators that we get an opportunity to pass legislation that is going to save lives. This bill is going to save lives, so thank you for bringing it forward.
Great debate. Representative Michaels, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank the staff for help on this bill. They didn't have a whole lot of time to get it together, and there were changes that we needed to adjust and make, and I want to thank you for that. Chair Mike Farland, thank you again. I learned so much from you. Thank you so much for making sure and holding my hand to the fire to make sure that I look at this from every side, and that's important of what we do. I believe this bill will keep our children, our students safe, and I appreciate your support, and I ask for your vote yes. Thank you.
Representative Michael, having closed on our bill, Margarita, please call the roll.
Representative Andrade?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Wasabi?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Porras?
Yes.
Smith? Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
By your vote, please show PCS for House Bill 741 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Michael. Next up, last up, we will hear House Bill 763 by Representative Edmonds, disposal of Department of Transportation property. Representative Edmonds, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Vice Chair. I also want to thank Meredith. I want to thank all of you for your amazing help and support on making me a better legislator. I'm here to present House Bill 763. Essentially, this bill provides that when the Florida Department of Transportation conveys land, buildings, or any other real or personal property for a public purpose without consideration to a government entity, this public purpose includes but is not limited to affordable housing. Essentially, it adds affordable housing to a public purpose.
Thank you, members. Are there any questions on the bill? Representative Nixon, you're recognized for questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Edmonds, is this your first bill that you're presenting?
This is our first bill, yes.
Yeah. I'll come back. I would hope that many of my other colleagues will ask a few questions.
Members, with that new information being provided, are there any further questions on the bill? Representative Basabi, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for presenting this. Have you heard about the innovative approach to affordable housing building out of the sargassum that's been accumulating in our waters?
Can you repeat?
Representative Basabi, could you repeat the question?
Yes. So there's a lot, you know, the sargassum, right? The seaweed that you can see from space, the large masses that are accumulating that are coming towards our shores.
I saw the article.
You know, all of that can be collected and turned into building material to build houses. I was just wondering if you were aware.
Madam Chair.
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you. I will take that with me for the next committee.
Beautiful. Members, any further questions on the bill? Or seagrass, apparently. Representative Nixon, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Edmonds, can you tell me what the definition of affordable housing is to this explanation?
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Will you allow me to get back to you and send you a memo to your office?
Representative Nixon, you recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, I would actually like to know the definition. Can you just throw something out at me?
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Please, Rep. Nixon. Allow me to please get back to you at a later time. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
All right, with some grace, do we have any amendments on the bill? Seeing no amendments, do we have any public testimony? We do. Sabrina Sandifer-White is here again to waving in support of this great bill. Miriam Baker is here for informational purposes. Wave in support. Members, seeing no further public testimony, is there any debate on the bill? I will add in debate. Representative Edmonds, thank you for being so collaborative on this bill. Sometimes we think we know the burning problem that we come up here to solve, and then we are confronted with the language of statute and sometimes learn that that language doesn't solve the problem or maybe it needs to be fixed, and your diligence and your work on this bill are truly commendable, and thank you for your hard work. So you know for the debate, Representative Edmonds, you're recognized to close.
Wave close, Madam Chair.
Margarita, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Wasabi?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Good choice.
Escamani?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nixon? Porras?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Chair McFarland?
Yes.
16 yeas, zero nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, please show House Bill 763 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Edmonds. Members, this brings us to the end of an exciting week three in the Transportation and Modal Subcommittee. Thank you for your engaged participation today, as always. And this concludes our committee agenda. See no further business before the committee. Representative Edmonds moves. We rise. Meeting adjourned.